98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
See, boys. All right, let's do it. It's noon. It's time for Wolfen Down Your Lunch. Aaron Maloney is here with all of our top stories for today. Aaron, what you got?
So the Suns season started off a little uneasy as they dropped their opener to the Nuggets 110-98. So what went wrong? Here's Suns head coach Monty Williams.
We missed a ton of shots. Put in a transition defense was below standard tonight. But we certainly didn't have the body movement, ball movement on offense that flattens teams out, breaks them down. We didn't see that consistently tonight. And then couple that with missing a ton of shots. Transition defense and then communication and pick and roll was not that great.
What do you think went wrong last night?
You don't expect Devin Booker to shoot 3 of 15. I don't think that's going to happen very often. You just heard Monty talking about the ball movement. I mean, if that, I can easily write that off as it being the first game of the season or the first week of the season. I mean, if that's still happening in a month, that would be concerning because that's sort of a trademark of what made the Suns so good last year was them being able to move the ball around so quickly on offense. But I'm pretty confident Booker's going to shoot better than 20% this year.
Yeah, I seriously do not want to overreact based on one game that was played. But Devin Booker, I have to agree with Luke, he had a tough night. It was not just his shooting as well. It was overall, he looked, I don't know, a little sluggish. He did not look like D-Book at all. The Suns, I think, overall look like they swept the Nuggets in four last postseason. And I think the Nuggets came out with a chip on their shoulder and wanted to actually go out and ball out. They played this like it was game five of that series. I think the Nuggets were locked in, and I think the Suns were sluggish.
Following last night's game, DeAndre Ayton spoke to reporters for the first time since the deadline passed.
I mean, one thing about me, throughout my whole life, I've always never took control of that control. Same time, obviously, I'm disappointed, but I'm still trying to get us back to the finals. You know, I still got to represent the team and myself.
So, it's a little hard to hear, but he said, control what I can control. Your reaction to that?
I think it's the best approach to take. It's not like DA has been, I know he was kind of open with his comments. I hate it when the media gets mad that like guys don't say what they're thinking, and then when they say what they're thinking, they're like, look at this guy, he's not being professional. I mean, last week he was pretty open about being disappointed. It's his right to be disappointed about it, but the best way he can handle it is controlling what he can control. And you heard him also saying there, Wolf, he's still got to represent himself and his team.
Yeah, no, I love the fact that he said what he said. Control what you can control. And I'm hoping that he goes out there with that mindset, game in and game out. Control what you can control. And what you can control is your play, your ability on the court when you compete. This is what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that this is going to bring the best out of DeAndre Ayton. Now, last night, up and down. And if that's the way that it's going to continue to go, then James Jones and the Phoenix Suns are probably going to be proven right.
Suns GM James Jones was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday and told the guys why 5 years was not an option for Ayton.
For a multitude of reasons, but ultimately when we looked at it from a team building, a roster construction standpoint, it just wasn't our preference. And, we decided that wasn't something that we wanted to do. And that's really what it came down to.
I mean, when I hear that, I want to see that this guy is going to play more consistently before we commit 5 years to him. I hear time and like roster flexibility more than money in that clip. I'm sure money's obviously a big part of it. But if he's going to just kind of be really good one day, the next day, or really good in the first half and not so much in the second half, then do you want to commit max money for 5 years to him if you don't have to? They didn't have to yet. Next summer, now it's a different story.
You know, this is just me. When I listen to James Jones in that situation right there, I see a guy and I hear a guy that knows DeAndre Ayton has all sorts of talent and wants to see DeAndre Ayton be able to engage that talent night in and night out. That's what I hear when I listen to that.
The Arizona Cardinals are gearing up to face the Houston Texans and Davis Mills on Sunday. And yesterday, Kyler Murray told reporters why he doesn't believe in trap games.
Just because, I mean, I view every game as, you know, is this their own, you know. Obviously, you know, their record is what people are looking at as a trap game and stuff like that. But I say it every week, it's the NFL. They got players, we got players, and we got to go out there and give them our best shot on Sunday. And I think we got to prepare that way throughout the week. And if we do that, then there shouldn't be a worry as far as trap game. If we get beat, we get beat, but we gave them our best shot. So that's how I see it.
Do you guys believe in such thing as a trap game?
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's out there. I think Zoe said it best before, though, when he was in here. I mean, it's great that Kyler Murray feels that way. Will the rest of the team feel that way? Are guys in key positions that decide the game on Sunday going to be approaching it, even whether it's consciously or subconsciously, as, hey, come on, it's the Texans, we got them beat. What about Green Bay on Thursday?
Well, what's funny is Aaron Rodgers actually brought that up.
I know what's in front of us. I know what's after this game. A short week against an undefeated opponent. Then a long week against Kansas City Chiefs, you know, defending your representative in the Super Bowl for the AFC. So, I mean, we know what's in front of us.
So even the Packers know what's in front of them. So I'm glad Kyler didn't go to Green Bay. Luke, Wolf, how do you feel about it?
You know, honestly, I love the fact that Kyler Murray is myopic, and I believe him when he says that he is looking at this as just another game, that he doesn't see a trap game. He sees it as a game. I'm hoping that that is the attitude that permeates the locker room, to Zoe's point and what you were talking about as well, Luke. I hope that it is a collective feeling, and this is why I'm so encouraged with the Arizona Cardinals, because I believe this is actually happening inside that locker room. Even as we speak, Luke, I believe it's happening. This ferocity, if you will, this vibe, this mentality that is taking over that locker room, I think, will not allow them to look at the Texans and have any type of letdown whatsoever.
Cardinals fans will also get their first look at the team's newest weapon on offense this Sunday. So what can we expect to see from Zach Ertz? Here's Cards defensive coordinator Vance Joseph.
I think he's going to drop into Max's role. You know, obviously, a guy like that, you know, who's a serious threat in the pass game first, I mean, he allows you to make defenses honest. You know, if teams are going to play shell and roll a hop, that puts him one-on-one with backers. You know, and obviously, it's first, second down, so with play-action pass game, I mean, he can kill teams down the middle. And he's also a really good blocker. You know, and most tight ends block on the move now. He's a long, good athlete, man. So he's good at blocking and obviously catching football. But he's just one more weapon that Kyler has.
Wolf, I know you have some stuff to say on that.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I'd love to see Zach Ertz just be able to hold up at the point of attack. He doesn't need to pancake people. He doesn't need to go out there and drive somebody 5 yards off the ball. I'm told he's a guy that cares about blocking. I'm told he's a guy that will try. I'm told he's a guy that is scrappy. And that, to me, is all I need right there. Zach Ertz has got every other job, every other ability, every other skill you need from a tight end covered.
I'm just going to say 48 yards and a touchdown. That's what I'm seeing this week. That's my prediction.
48 yards and a touchdown.
48 and a score.
Why 48?
Just 48. I'm just feeling 48.
Stay 48.
Yeah, there you go. That's why. Yeah, to show his his pride for his new state. Exactly. Aaron, do you have any more? That is it. All right. That was Wolfing Down Your Lunch. That's your entire lunch right there. And when we come back, we'll get deeper into what happened last night. Suns opener against Denver, a team that was probably out for some revenge, and they were. But also, I want to tell you, attention, Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all next week as the Cheeseheads from the North will be invading State Farm Stadium for Thursday night football. Text red to 620-620 and listen for your name during the Bickley and Murata show all next week to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Packers Thursday night football. Text red to 620-620. Yeah, like I said, when we come back, we'll get deeper into the Suns game and, you know, got a big one coming up tomorrow, too, against the Lakers. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
97.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. A middle seat and coach. A first-class reclining suite with bottle service. Wolf and Luke.
Okay, a couple observations from during the break before we get into the Suns.
Yeah.
All right. One, as I mentioned to you, Vince Carter doesn't age. He looks exactly the same now as he did when he was, like, at North Carolina.
Incredible.
Two, did you see what Ben Simmons did today?
No.
He showed up to, because he had scheduled practice after he's already been kicked out the other day by Doc Rivers.
Yes.
Shows up to the facility, apparently told trainers his back kind of hurts, and then left.
So, wait a minute. So, his back kind of hurts.
Well, maybe he said my back hurts. I don't know. I don't.
And
have
then
to,
left.
I think they, like, point ointment on it or
you know, this is the one
seconds.
Thing about it. It is something that is happening in the NBA, and it's going to continue to happen. Players forcing themselves out of organizations.
Yeah, it's a problem.
This is what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I give Ben Simmons credit for actually showing up and trying to make it work. But for whatever reason, it got sideways quickly, did it not?
Yeah, and I mean, it can get sideways even more quickly when you are in a market like Philadelphia, and they, I mean, he's now such a divide on that team. You've got Joel Embiid the other day saying, I don't care about that guy. Simmons, I mean, over the summer, it's not like he's not to blame. He basically said he doesn't want to play with Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
The fans are clearly going to take Embiid's side. Embiid is the better player, and he's there.
I'm just wondering right now, if you're a general manager in the NBA, are you eyeballing Ben Simmons?
It's got to be the right situation.
It's not just in between the lines that you might have questions and concerns. It's also outside of those lines.
I'm concerned with a guy that was number one overall pick that does a lot of things really well but seems scared to shoot a basketball when his profession is playing basketball.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like an issue, right?
Start there.
So, yeah, we'll see. Anyway, that's their issue. That's not our issue. The Suns, the only issue the Suns really have right now is they're starting the season 0-1. We kind of got into this a little bit during Wolf and Down Your Lunch, Wolf, but the name we didn't bring up, and there are just going to be games like this. We remember this from last season. Certainly remember it from that series against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be days where Jay Crowder cannot miss. Last night was not one of those days.
Yes.
Last night was one of those days where Jay Crowder could not hit a three. He was 0 for 5. All his shots were threes. He only had 2 points. Again, I don't look at that game last night and say they lost because of Jay Crowder or they lost because of Devin Booker or they lost because of DeAndre Ayton. Nobody really had a good game for the Suns. I guess Chris Paul did. But just in general, Denver got really good play from Nikola Jokic, a really good play from Will Barton, who, you know, we didn't get to see a whole lot of in that series last year, and that was pretty much enough. Aaron Gordon played better than he did, certainly in the playoffs against the Suns last year.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I watched the Suns play, and I was so disappointed, like all of us, I think. I didn't think any starter played well. I didn't think anybody played well. Let's call it the NBA Finals hangover game, shall we? Maybe. I mean, let's hope it's only one game. But D-Book didn't play well, as we all know, and he'd be the first one to tell you that. I didn't even think Chris Paul played great.
He was okay.
I just thought
he was better than everybody else, kind of by default.
D.A. didn't look angry at all, didn't go about his business the way that I thought he should have. McCall looked like he signed a $90 million contract and felt the pressure of going out and performing up to that contract.
Yeah.
Jay Crowder couldn't shoot. I mean, every starter in this game had a negative plus minus. Every bench player had a positive plus minus, save for Cam Johnson.
And it was still a winnable game. I mean, in the second half, there was a stretch in this game where the Suns were leading in the first half by quite a bit. And so, I mean, you consider all the things that weren't working and the fact that they were still in it. You know, it's one game out of 82. But yeah, there's going to be there's going to be more scrutiny on this team this year because the expectations are not, hey, I hope they make the playoffs, or like in years past,
yeah,
hey, I hope they win 30 games. Won't that be swell?
Yay!
Now it is, can you win the NBA title? And I think Monty Williams kind of echoing what you were just saying.
We missed a ton of shots. Put them in transition. Our transition defense was below standard tonight. But we certainly didn't have the body movement, ball movement on offense that flattens teams out and breaks them down. We didn't see that consistently tonight. And then couple that with, you know, missing a ton of shots, transition defense, and then communication and pick and roll was not that great.
So, in other words, everything.
Yeah, right. You know, again, I don't want to overreact to this. I really don't. I don't want to overreact to one game, and I will not do it. I do not splatter easily, Bazanonians. I won't do it. I will not overreact to DeAndre Ayton as well in one game and whether or not DeAndre Ayton deserves a max. I'm not going to get wrapped up in all of that. But I will tell you right now, the Nuggets looked like they were on point, and the Suns looked like they were not on point.
The Nuggets looked more, going into that series last year, you could tell it wasn't a great matchup for Denver going into the series. I think most people felt pretty confident the Suns, once they had gotten past the Lakers, they were going to win that series, and then who knows, against, you know, the Clippers or whoever it was going to be in the Western Conference Finals. But I do remember going into the playoffs last year thinking, we may be seeing the changing of the guard in the Western Conference, in the sense that at some point, LeBron's not going to be great. He apparently still is now, but at some point, you know, there are going to be teams that have been towards the top to take a step back, and it seems like the Suns, the Jazz, and the Nuggets are going to be the three teams that kind of step into that new role of being at the top of the Western Conference for the foreseeable future. And Denver has gone all in on that. I mean, they are paying max money to Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, and Michael Porter Jr. So they are very much building around that nucleus for the next few years. And yesterday or last night, they looked like a team that's going to be there. I mean, they did that without Jamal Murray, too. They look like that team that's going to be hanging around at the top of the West for the next few years.
Yeah, you know, again, the Nuggets, though, I thought they brought the intensity in that first quarter. You could see them come out. They were intentional, no doubt about it. And I think the Suns, for the most part, they responded in the second quarter. Until the Nuggets went on a 10-1 run to end the half right there. That was kind of, they built this 16-point lead in the second quarter. The Suns, it was like they woke up. And then suddenly they came out. They had a hard time starting this game and starting the third quarter as well. They had a hard time starting halves. And again, I understand you go out there and you don't shoot the ball. Well, you shot, what, 41% from the field? That's a disgrace when you think of the Suns and how well they have shot the ball all of last year for the most part.
Yeah, well, sometimes that's it. Denver shot 53, the Suns shot 41. That's basically why they lost the game.
You know, and again, those nights are going to happen from time to time. I think it's startling because we have one game.
Yeah.
One
this
game.
This is it.
To
our
look
sample
at right
size
there.
Is everything.
This is it. It's one game. Run for your lives, everybody.
I do want to play this, too, from Monty Williams, real quick.
That's what we're trying to avoid, like Book having to save us all the time. You know, that's our team is built so that we can move the ball around, get other guys involved, so that we don't have to rely on. Because he's going to see all kinds of defense. They were blitzing him, denying him. He missed some shots, but our offense as a team was not up to standard. We scored 40 points in the second half. The last 2 minutes of the second quarter, I think we were negative 25 after that. And that was not a good segment for us coming in half. So, yeah, he missed some shots, but defensively in our offense, overall, wasn't great tonight.
The general point of that, and again, I know the audio is a little bit tough to hear today, but Monty Williams was saying we're trying to create an offense that doesn't rely on Devin Booker to save us every night. And I think they're at that point with the talent on this team where that's probably a pretty good path to go down. You know, Devin Booker should be allowed to have a 3-for-15 night and you can still win the game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be too reliant on any one guy, because being too reliant on any one player in today's NBA is not enough. You'll get to the playoffs, I guess. I mean, they have a pretty good one player if they were going to rely on him, but you're not going to get where you want to go if it's like, well, Booker's having an off night, so we'll see you Friday.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to say as well, because I know we're running out of time here, but Campaign has got to control his temper. He really does. Can I nitpick at one thing right here? It was, I think there were 16 seconds left, and the Suns had battled their way back to 85-82 going into the fourth quarter. It was the last, it was right at the end of the third quarter. That's what it was, going into the fourth, 85-82. And Campazzo got in his face and drew the foul. Like, Cam pushed him. You know, get out of here. Get out of my... He's got to be able to control that, because, Luke, I'm telling you right now, what are you going to do if you're, if you've got a guy who's a bad guy on your team, a guy who's kind of an enforcer? Are you going to run a Mac campaign? Yeah, you're probably going to do that.
We kind of saw it even a little bit in the playoffs last
year,
now that you mentioned it.
Exactly right. You know, and again, I love campaign. Oh, man, I love his intensity. I absolutely stand and applaud his intensity, but he's got to be smart about this and get on top of it, because they're going to run dudes at him.
Well, that's a fine line, because he's taken such a roundabout path to get to where he is now, where he has like a consistent NBA job. And I'm sure if he were here right now, he would tell you the reason I'm now in the NBA and not playing on the other side of the planet is because I play with that edge. So you don't want to take the edge away, but you just, you're right. I mean, the book's going to be out
smart.
On him.
You have to be smart.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, how is J.J. Watt feeling going up against his former team for the first time ever this week? Total Wattage is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
We need to turn it up. Let's turn it up. Let's go.
When Cards defensive end J.J. Watt's on the mic, the power meter registers an overload.
How much gas do you feel like you have left in the tank?
A lot. A whole lot.
They got a deal with us. Welcome to the big leagues.
Total Wattage with Wolf and Luke.
All right, here we go. Every Thursday, if you are at your job right now or driving around, sitting in traffic, you need a jolt. Here's some Total Wattage here for the next few minutes. J.J. Watt spoke to the media today, as he does every Thursday, and you would imagine, Wolf, he's got even a little more juice for Total Wattage this week going up against his former team. First off, they asked him, will it be weird to see the Texans jersey and helmet on the opposition this Sunday?
It'll be different. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, when I turn on the film this week and I watch the games and you're looking at NRG Stadium, for 10 years I've looked at that film, and I've been watching the team in blue and white. And now I'm watching it from the other perspective, and I'm studying those guys. So it's definitely different. But I don't think I'm going to forget which guy I'm supposed to tackle, if that's what you're asking.
That is a great cut right
that's
there.
A great
it really
quote.
Is. It's
yeah.
so human, is it not?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course he notices. Of course it's weird. Yet it's still ball. And in the end, he's going to ball out.
More from J.J. Watt being able to hold Cleveland's rushing attack to low yardage as they did last week. The Cardinals are the team that has slowed down Tennessee and Cleveland, the two top rushing teams in the NFL, despite how poorly they fared against the Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that going up against the number one rushing attack in the NFL last week, obviously Chubb was out and hurt. But to be able to hold them to 73 rushing yards and to be able to do it with so many guys out, just shows you that next man up mentality, being able to step in, do your job. It's how guys practice every week. It's how guys meet and how they study. And like I said, it's a business-like mindset. There's no excuses and no complaining. It's just know your job, do your job, and we're going to be successful. And so far, that's paid off.
Do your job. Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, do your job. Bill Belichick, of course, but the culture is starting to form here. The chemistry inside that locker room is special. And J.J. Watt was brought in. One of the big reasons why he was brought into this team was to increase the leadership that's in that locker room. And the way you do that is to go out and ball first and then say. And that's what J.J. Watt has done.
One of the things I really do like about this Cardinals team that is now being amplified as they are 6-0, but it's something we talked about a lot when there was that balanced passing attack early in the season. People were like, is DeAndre Hopkins going to get upset about this? He's not getting his catches, not getting his numbers. You've got a lot of vets on this team. You've got some that have won a Super Bowl, but you've got a lot of high-profile players that don't have a Super Bowl yet that are willing to sacrifice stats or whatever in the name of winning a Super Bowl. And along those lines, this is J.J. Watt today.
It's the only thing driving me now. I mean, I'm fortunate. I've I've made a lot of money in this league, fortunately. I've won individual awards in this league. I've accomplished things in this league. There's one thing that I haven't accomplished that I want to accomplish, and it's the only thing that matters.
There you go.
That is a beautiful thing right there when you're in that situation, no doubt about it. But again, I love the point that you made of all the veterans that are inside that locker room right there. And it's not just the guys, the high-profile guys that you're thinking of as well. It's not just J.J. Watt. It's not just DeAndre Hopkins. It's not just A.J. Green. It's not just these guys that Chandler Jones, these guys that have played a long time and are veterans. Hardcore veterans in that locker room. It's also the Marcus Goldens of the world.
Yeah, for sure.
It's guys like Marcus Golden that go out there. You've got so many dogs that are inside that locker room, and that was intentional. Steve Keim intended to do that this offseason, and it's paying dividends.
It is a very good mix in the sense that you have guys that have performed in this league before but don't have a Super Bowl ring yet. And then you have guys that are maybe younger that were on this team last year and had to deal with the bitterness of the way last season ended. And so there is, and you can see it when you watch this team play, there seems to be a sense of, I don't really care about my stats. I either don't want to go through what we went through last year, I want to be in the playoffs, or I've already, like J.J. Watt just said, I've done everything else in this league. I want my ring.
Who do you think of?
Chris
when
Paul.
You hear that?
I think of Chris Paul. I
think of Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
All the guys that are in that locker room right now, hardcore veterans that are after one thing.
I miss Fitz. Every time you bring up Fitz and this team's going 6-0.
By the way, Larry, yeah. Love you, bro.
Here, this is something you've been talking about a lot. J.J. Watt, did leadership allow them to be successful last week when adversity hits? It's almost like you asked this question, Wolf.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the ability to do your work daily and not have it disrupted by whatever adversity you face is why we were successful last week, despite all the adversity. If that shows you how you can't be too reliant on one thing or another. You know, your head coach goes down, you have to have people willing to step in and ready to step in and capable. You lose some of your starters on defense. You lose one of them on game day. And, you know, you have to be able to step in, and people have to be able to slide into those roles. And it was seamless, and it was great, and I think it's a great sign for what we are capable of. And we still haven't put together our best game yet.
Yeah, I love that right there. Leadership, once again, in a gross simplification of the truth. And I love what Zoe said about this earlier. Listen, and it's what's implied. When I meant leadership won a game, I think, for the Arizona Cardinals, the implication is you've got the talent to win games. And that's what Zoe was talking about as well. You need that talent. But assuming that you have that talent, leadership was the difference against the Cleveland Browns, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the Cardinals have proven this season they have the talent. They even proved it at times last season. They had the makings
yes.
of a talented roster. Now it's clearly a more talented roster, but it's also leadership allows you to not waste that talent, basically, no matter what's going on around you. And there was a lot going on around this team last week they had no control over.
Absolutely, and it's kind of like this game, once again, against the Houston Texans. When you look at the rosters, the Arizona Cardinals have so much more talent collectively than the Houston Texans. Leadership is going to be able to bring that talent to bear on a regular, consistent basis.
That was Total Watt. There's just a lot more I wanted to get to, but we have to hit the break when we come back. DeAndre Ayton has spoken for the first time since that deadline for that extension passed. So how do you feel about what he had to say? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
There's been a lot of talk about DeAndre Ayton for the last few weeks. Outside of, you know, a couple comments a couple weeks ago, and we talked to him on the show about 3 weeks ago before this all kind of went, I don't want to say south, but before negotiations were kind of non-existent. Other than that, we really haven't heard much from him, and he spoke yesterday about just his general feeling now that he knows he's not getting the extension until at least next summer, how he's dealing with that.
I mean, one thing about me, throughout my whole life, I've always learned, to control what I can control. Same time, obviously, I'm disappointed, but I'm still trying to get us back to the finals. I still got to represent the team and myself, but, and I'm just a competitor, man. I just like to compete to the best, and every time I'm in between the lines, that's what you want to see out of anything else.
Trying to get his team back to the finals, controlling what he can control.
Yeah, it's great advice. I think he's received that advice from multiple sources. I think DeAndre Ayton is a great kid. I think he's a great young man. I think he's developing and maturing. I think there's no doubt about that, of course. But this is something that he's got to grasp. The fact that he understands it and can say it is one thing. Now he's got to go do it. To talk about controlling what you can control. That means you've got to go do it yourself. You got to ball out. You can't be dependent on anybody else getting you ready to go out and control what you can control. You got to do it yourself.
He does say the right thing a lot. Now the question is, control what you can control means for the full 48 minutes, not just for the first 12 minutes like we saw last night. Well, if I think it's time, since we're debuting this today, I think it's time for another round of America's Fastest Growing Game Show. Are you ready for this?
No.
Okay.
Out on top, DeAndre Ayton, a three-pointer. Suzanne! DA for three.
Waiting on Ayton or paid DA. Wolf and Luke make a decision based on last night's game.
All right, what's popping? What's popping?
All right, Wolf, you know the rules. Overreact based entirely on last night's game. If you were the Suns GM, would you be waiting on Ayton or would you just go ahead and pay DA?
Here we go in a gross overreaction. I'm waiting on Payton.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on Ayton.
Yeah, but you can't do both things. You waiting on Gary Payton?
I'm waiting on Payton. Waiting on Ayton.
Waiting on Payton to make a decision on Ayton. Look, if I were GM for one day and had to run the entire team based solely on what I saw last night, max deal? I'm waiting. I'm waiting on Ayton. It was a solid first quarter, an impressive first quarter. But not much after that. It kind of felt like Ayton was waiting on Ayton last night, actually. It felt like the team was waiting on Ayton.
So what do we do now? We're actually going to record this, right? We're gonna keep track of
this. This whole thing's live. People can hear all this.
We'll do it live, of course, but I'm saying we're going to record how many times we're waiting on Ayton as opposed to pay DA.
Yes. So this sheet, I'm going to write down after each game how we voted, and then we'll just send this to James Jones in the offseason. I'm assuming that's how he'll make a decision.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Okay, so you went waiting, and I went waiting.
Yeah, right, okay, that's good. I think we ought to put Rick in charge of that.
Okay, all right. Well, he's wearing an Orioles jersey and doing what Orioles fans do right now, so yeah. I'm going to write it down.
All masked up, too.
James Jones was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, and he was asked, was there ever actually an offer made to DeAndre Ayton?
There was, and we had great discussions initially. We discussed a multitude of things, but ultimately a four-year deal, a three-year deal, just wasn't something that was an option. And it was 5 years, and that's it. And so that's pretty much where it ended. And like I said, it's unfortunate because it is not reflective of our commitment, our desire to DeAndre. It's just at this point in time, or at that point in time, we couldn't come to an agreement.
Man, I'll tell you, what do you think of when you hear James Jones say that?
Well, I don't think James Jones listens to a lot of sports talk or follows a lot of this stuff, but I think it's also unavoidable to hear some of the pushback, whether it's from fans or whatever. And I think he's probably aware, he said it right there. It looks like we don't want this guy. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
But I can empathize with he's kind of been all over the place. You want a max deal for 5 years, a max extension for 5 years on top of this? I got to see more.
I'm not going to come off this at all. I believe that James Jones had to have a conversation with Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Jay Crowder and the leadership inside that locker room. Had to have a conversation with them about this situation and what is going on. He had to. He had to address it. How else could the Suns move forward like this with the certitude that they have? Because this could drive a wedge in between the players in the locker room. I mean, you're for DA getting the max, or you're against DA getting the max, whatever it may be. This could have driven a massive wedge in between this locker room. The schism could have formed, and that involves James Jones, and he knows it better than anybody else because he was a player, and he knows how these things work.
This is Tom Chambers on with us yesterday.
I think the players, you know, are behind this. I mean, this team talks. They know what's going on. I mean, I'm sure Chris Paul knows and was aware that they weren't going to give him the max deal right now at this particular time. May it happen? Absolutely. But, Wolf, if you were playing for $5, you're playing for, you know, $500 million. You played hard every single day. And this is going to be a defining moment for DeAndre. If he's going to come out here and stay focused on task and continue to play the way he's played, he will be rewarded. There's no question about it. He will be rewarded. So I don't think it's going to be a huge distraction other than us people talking about it.
Oh, my goodness. You go back and you play the beginning of that. It sounds like Tom Chambers would agree with me. And this is something I've been talking about for weeks now, that this feels like, you know what, these guys know. Chris Paul knows what's going on. The Suns know DeAndre Ayton better than we'll ever know DeAndre Ayton and how he's going to respond to all of this. And not only that, how the players around him, how do they feel about it? This is not going to drive a wedge between the players because it sounds like the players understand this.
Well, I do think it would be smart if you're James Jones and, you know, we're in the middle of the summer and they make an offer to DeAndre Ayton and his camp comes back. Nope, nothing less than a max deal for 5 years. Nothing. That's all we're going to take. Nothing less than a max deal for 5 years. If that's what Ayton's camp came back with and you're James Jones and you're like, but we're not doing that. It probably would be smart at some point in the offseason, and it sounds like maybe they did, to go to Chris Paul and go to some of the other the leadership in that locker room and be like, look, this might not be anything you guys have to deal with, but just be aware we're trying to get an extension from Mikal Bridges. We're trying to, you know, they ended up paying Landry Shamet before he even played a game as a member of the Suns. Why not? Why wouldn't you go to Chris Paul and be like, look, we're trying to take care of all this stuff. I don't think a deal is getting done with Ayton, though, so just be aware of that so it doesn't slap you in the face 2 days before the season starts.
Yeah. What if Chris Paul would have looked at him and said, what are you guys doing? Are you kidding me? What are you guys doing? What if he was outraged?
He was probably all yelled out from yelling at Ayton all last year.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
When I hear Tom Chambers say, the players are behind this, you tell me what, again.
this is tough because yesterday you admitted you're not on the grassy knoll. You are the grassy knoll.
I know.
But
play the beginning cut of that again. Just listen to this.
I think the players, you know, are behind this. I mean, this team talks. They know what's going on. I mean, I'm sure Chris Paul knows and was aware that they weren't going to give him the max deal right now at this particular time. May it happen? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he was aware as well. And I think he had conversations. And he's having conversations with DeAndre Ayton as well. Thank goodness Chris Paul is here and Chris Paul is in that locker room. Because you know what? There is one way out of here for DeAndre Ayton. There is one way out of here. Said the Joker to the thief. Isn't that right? Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan and Jimi Hendrix did that.
There's one way out of here, and it's through the season. The prism of this season, ball out, and everything will take care of itself. Everything.
I don't want to blow up the clock here, so maybe I'll save this question for Kellen Olsen. Kellen Olsen's going to join us next hour because there is a question that lingers with this DA situation that I genuinely want to know the answer to, and I don't know when we're going to find that out. Kellen Olsen's going to join us a little bit, so I'll ask him later on. Coming up next, the Cardinals are going to take on the Texans on Sunday. So what should we expect to see from Houston? We're going to go live to Houston, get some thoughts from the other side of this matchup. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.